This evening. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 has this interesting verse in it. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit is with a small s. This is talking about the human spirit. You are a trinity. You are a body, and you are a spirit, and you are a soul. The Bible says, "Is the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." I did a funeral yesterday morning. There was a body in the coffin. There was no spirit in that body. The spirit had left that body. And the spirit belongs to God, who gives it to us. And the spirit is the inner man that is the seat of your emotions, your feelings, your will, and your attitude. And I want to talk about attitudes today. The Bible word is the spirit. You need to understand that. There are three of you people at once trying to get along with each other as you walk through life. Your body, your spirit, and your soul. This big word is called anthropology. It's the study of man and what we're made out of. And I hope if you and I can get our body under the control of the Holy Spirit and our spirit, small s, under the control of the Holy Spirit, and our soul under the control of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to live with yourself. A lot of people can't even live with themselves. They got to have drugs. You got to have alcohol. Some commit suicide. And certainly if you can't live with yourself, how can you live with anyone else? I think one of the things we need to tell young people before they get married is learn how to live with your own self. The spirit of man. Man has a spirit. The human spirit. I'm not talking this morning about the Holy Spirit. Man has a spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" There is a spirit inside of you, a person, an invisible person, called a spirit, a human spirit. And when that leaves the body, you die. Now that spirit is the emotional part of our being, the part that seats our feelings and our will and our attitudes. The soul is the spiritual part of your being, that part that can have and can be saved and can have a relationship with God. The soul is spiritual. The spirit is emotional, attitudinal. And then your body, of course, is your flesh with all of its desires and so on and so forth. And so sometimes just getting along with yourself is a chore, let alone getting along with somebody else. This verse says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly." In other words, God focuses on the human spirit to see what you're really like or what I'm really like on the inside. The candle of the Lord here is referring to what we would call perhaps today a spotlight. What really puts the spotlight on a person. If I could paraphrase this verse here, verse 27, I would say it's simply this: our attitude shows the Lord what we are really made of. Our attitude shows the Lord what we are really made of. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So I want to ask you today, what kind of a spirit do you have? What kind of a spirit do you have? What kind of attitudes do you have? There's all kinds listed in the Bible. It's amazing. It's a tremendous study. A lot of times we hear preachers, and rightly so, But we'll hear them say, you know, you need to get your heart right with God. But we hardly ever hear a message that says you need to get your spirit right with God. And sometimes I think the focus needs to be on our human spirit rather than on the heart in some cases. I'm going to give you a lot of examples of different types of attitudes, different types of spirits that can be inside of a person. We'll look at some of these in Bible stories and others. I'll just kind of mention them. And as I do, I want you to think about maybe one that will kind of touch your button, one that you say, you know, that's me. Look over at Luke chapter 9, and I want you to read with me here in verse 51, a story about the Lord in his last year of ministry, and he's heading from the north Galilee down to the south in Jerusalem, and he has to pass through Samaria, where the Samaritans, a breed of Gentiles and Jews mixed, were there, and they didn't like the Jews at all. And it tells us in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready there for him. And they did not receive him. They did not receive Christ's visit because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias or Elijah did in an Old Testament story? But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked James and John and said, you know not what manner of, what's the next word? Spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They had a destructive spirit. They had an angry spirit. They had a violent spirit. You know, sometimes people have an angry spirit about them. We're going to see a little bit later in the message that if you do not rule your spirit will rule you. Prisons today are filled with men, maybe even some women, who had an angry spirit. When the Lord shines the spotlight on their attitudes and their emotions and their feelings, they're filled with anger. And they were controlled by that spirit rather than controlling that spirit, and they got themselves into behavior, almost violent behavior like these two wanted, and asked the Lord if it would be all right if they commanded fire down from heaven to destroy these that didn't want anything to do with Christ. And the Lord rebuked them and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. In the book of Jonah, the Lord asks Jonah this question in Jonah 4 and verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And again in verse 9, the Lord said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Two times he questioned Jonah about an attitude he had. Doest thou well to be angry? We talk about Simeon and Levi, two of the sons of Jacob. It says their anger and their wrath was cruel so much that they ended up killing a man and destroying a bunch of property. See, what was it? We're talking about men here, whether they're Jonah or James or John or Simeon or Levi. We're talking about men who got an angry spirit, and their angry spirit caused them to do things that were wrong and unchristian. What kind of a spirit do we have? In the book of Ruth, we find out a woman had a bitter spirit. Her attitude was one of bitterness. Her name was Naomi. In Ruth 1 and verse 19, it says, so they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She's got a bitter spirit about her. A bitter spirit. Do you ever know anybody who has a bitter spirit about some of the things in their life that they've had to live through? Oh my, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, bitterness is the root that defiles many people. Many people are defiled. They begin to spoil. They begin to rot because they become bitter. Bitterness begins to rule them. A lot of people like that. You know, churches, I think, would be jam-packed full of people on Sunday mornings if people could overcome their spirit of bitterness. And there's many, many people out there, and you visit them and so on and so forth. You try to get them to church and everything, and you find out as you kind of probe and prod kindly that they're bitter at God. They're just bitter. Or they're bitter at a believer, or they're bitter at somebody in the church that said something to them or did something to them. They're just bitter people. Like Naomi. David got bitter at the Lord. One time one of his friends, Uzzah, was killed by the Lord because they put the Ark of the Covenant up on a cart and carried it with a bunch of cows. They weren't supposed to move God's holy furniture that way. There was a set order for God to have them move the Ark of the Covenant, that ark, that box that represented the very presence of God. They were supposed to cover it so nobody could see it, and then slide poles through the four rings that were on the four corners. And then the Levites were supposed to pick it up with a pole, four of them, and they were supposed to carry that person, that furniture that way. And it was the hard way, but it was God's way. But the Philistines put it on a cart one day and had a bunch of cows pull it along, and the Jews said, that's easier than our way. And so they started doing it the Philistines' way, and they put the ark up on a cart, and the cows were pulling it, and everybody was dancing and praising the Lord and singing. Everybody thought just God was just thrilled with their worship. But it was all out of order. And somehow the cows or something hit a pothole or something, the Ark of the Covenant, the most valuable piece of furniture that God had commanded Israel never, ever touch it. Only one man was allowed in to the presence of the Ark of the Covenant once a year, and he had to take blood for himself and for the sins of the nation. And so they're treating this sacred thing very lightly, and it hits a pothole and it starts to tumble, and this guy Uzzah thought, I'm going to really do God a favor. He goes up there and he puts his hands up on the Ark to push it back up on the cart where it don't fall, and God smites him dead. And Uzzah was a good friend of David's. And David thought God did something wrong. And the fact of the matter is, he did something wrong. He's the king. And Uzzah did something wrong. And as a result, David got bitter at God. Wouldn't talk to God for a season in his life. He got a bitter spirit. Now finally, David got over it, but I've seen people go to their grave and never get over it. Bitter spirit. He finally repented, and he got the priest together, and he said, listen, this whole mess was my fault. We didn't do it God's way. Let's go back and do it God's way this time, and they did it the right way. He got over his bitter spirit. Samson had a sensual spirit. He never saw a woman he didn't like. Solomon had a sensual spirit. He was the most wise man that ever learned, but he collected women like some men collect coins and stamps. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Turn over in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. I want to show you another spirit that sometimes people have. And these people were in the Lord's work. In 2 Kings in 12, we read about the priests in the days of Jehoash the king. And it says, beginning in verse 4, and Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh in to any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And notice verse 8. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. Imagine that. This is called apathy. This is called indifference. They said, okay. The king said, well, what's going on here? We're collecting all this money. We're supposed to fix up the house of the Lord, and we've given it into your hands to fix up the house of the Lord and to hire people out and so on and so forth, and you haven't done a thing with it. Now, he said, quit collecting money until we get the work done. They said, okay, we won't take up any more money, but we're not going to do the work. There's a spirit of apathy, a spirit of indifference in these priests. And so Jehoiada takes things into his own hands and verse number 9, and gets a chest, bores a hole in it, collects a bunch of other money, and then hires some other people and says, you priests aren't going to do it. We're going to get the job done. We're going to find somebody who will do it. The Bible speaks about an apathetic spirit, a spirit of indifference. What about you today? Do you have a spirit of apathy? Don't get done, so what? Don't get done. Don't have an apathetic spirit. Get at the work. Get it done. You know, so many times there's so much to do. There's any church you go to, there's so much need for laborers and ministers and missions, and sometimes it's not always the best people that are doing the work. Some really gifted people, even in our church, don't do a thing. We have to leave it up to others who at least try and make themselves available to the Lord. Because of a spirit of apathy, all kinds of attitudes that people can have. The Bible talks about a hasty spirit. A hasty spirit, H-A-S-T-Y, a hasty spirit. These are people who've got to have it, and they've got to have it now. They've got to have it yesterday. This hasty spirit can really ruin a person's life in two areas. Number one, relationships. You see these people rush off into boyfriend and girlfriend relationships when they really should not even be thinking about that at their age. You ever see that? Hasty spirit. And they start dating. And dating is not in the Bible, by the way. And they can't wait, and they got to get married. You ever see someone like that? Got to get married. Hasty spirit. It'll really ruin a person's life. I'm telling you, if you don't rule your spirit will rule you. Sometimes these things, a hasty spirit, relationships. A hasty spirit will wreck your life financially. Got to have it. Got to have it now. Got to have it yesterday. Got to go in debt to have it. A lot of people have a hasty spirit, and they go out and they run up their credit cards and get in over their head with mortgages and car payments and so on and so forth. And especially our young adults, they are the ones that have the heaviest burden in our day and age of debt, because they get to be 18 and they get credit cards in their hands and they get school loans and all kinds of things, and they're hasty. They can't wait. As I said before, they don't want to get behind in the rat race. But they don't realize how long the race is. You know, like some of these people yesterday went sprinting out in the marathon over in Beijing. And what happened? They didn't make it to the end. They didn't pace themselves. A hasty spirit. There are those who have a fearful spirit. Oh, my. Fearful spirit will keep people from doing anything. The Bible says in 2 Timothy in verses chapter 1 and verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a fearful spirit. Think of the 12 spies that Moses sent up into the promised land as they just come out of Egypt. They got in the wilderness. And he sends out 12 spies. And he says, go spy out the land. This is the land that God's going to give us. And go up there and bring back a report so we can know how to go about doing this. And they sent out 12 men, and 10 of them came back and said, you know, it's just like God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and we've got the grapes of Eshcol here to prove it. It's just a beautiful, fertile land. It's just amazing, but there's giants in it. We've seen them, and we're no match for them. It says they came back with fear, and that spirit of fear just began to spread across the whole congregation of Israel. And they all spake of stoning Moses and Aaron and so on and so forth. That spirit of fear will keep you from doing anything for God. It'll keep you from doing God's will. We've got to rule our spirit. You've got to live with your spirit. And many of you could be doing great things for God, but you're just afraid to get started. You're afraid to present yourself as a laborer. You're afraid you might fail. I don't know what your fears are, but there is no such thing as a saved person that has not been given, at least by the Holy Ghost, one gift that he or she is to use among the body of Christ, the local church, to help other people with. No such thing. But so many people don't use that gift because of their fear. Fear stops them. A spirit of fear. And there's those that have a proud spirit. The book of Ecclesiastes says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit can wait on God for God's best. But the proud in spirit, it's all about them, and they want it, and they want it now. They have that hasty spirit I talked about earlier. The proud in spirit thinks they're better than other people. They have too high of an opinion of themselves. That's the proud spirit. What kind of spirit do you have today? Worse than a proud spirit, the Bible speaks of a haughty spirit. H-A-U-G-H-T-Y, a haughty spirit. That's not only where a person's proud or they have too high of an opinion or importance of themselves, but haughty goes beyond that where they begin to look down on other people. A haughty spirit. Well, you don't want to be like that. I think there's some that have a haughty spirit in every church. I'm too good to work in this church. This church isn't good enough for my talents, for my gifts, for my time, for my energy. It's a haughty spirit. The Bible speaks of a filthy spirit in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Filthy spirit. You know, I think there's a filthy spirit in our country today. Don't you? Or is it my imagination? A filthy spirit. The human spirit can become filthy. Talks about a rebellious spirit in the scriptures. It's amazing. Get your concordance out. I'm just giving you some of the descriptions in the Bible about the human spirit. The human spirit can become rebellious. The first attitude somebody has is rebellion. They don't like authority. They don't like anyone telling them what to do. They rebel against instructions. Some have a contentious spirit. The Bible talks about men. The Bible talks about women. The Bible talks about the poor husband who's got a wife who has a contentious spirit. And vice versa. A stubborn spirit. A stubborn spirit. Haman had a spirit of pride. In Esther 6 and verse 6, he said, whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Remember that story? The king said, what should I do for the man that I want to honor? And Haman said, well, who else would you want to honor beside me? He said, well, get the king's horse out and the king's garments out and the king's crown out and put that guy on the horse and march him through town here. And Haman thought he was talking about himself. It turns out he was talking about Mordecai the Jew. He had a proud spirit. Korah had a spirit of rebellion. In Numbers 16, got together in front of Moses, had 250 rebels with him, and by the way, rebels attract rebels. They have like rebel radar. You know, one rebel will find another rebel. You find it in the church, you find it at Christian camp. They won't be there a half hour, but the rebels will find each other at camp. Same thing in Sunday school or junior church or anywhere. Rebels, I don't care what town you live in, if you got a rebellious son or daughter, they're going to find the other rebels in town. They just attach to each other like magnets. And Korah's got himself about 250 rebels, and they come up to Moses and say, who do you think you are? You think you're the only one God's speaking through? And these men had already been given positions, high positions in the congregation, but they wanted the highest. They had a spirit of rebellion. Solomon had a spirit of depression. He had a depressed spirit. And on we can go. What kind of a spirit do you have? You know, praise the Lord. There's other listings in the Bible besides these negative ones. In Numbers chapter 15 or 14 and verse number 24, it says this about Caleb during that rebellion. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb had another spirit. He didn't have the fearful spirit of those 10 that went in to the country, and they didn't want to try anything. He had another spirit. He says, I want to attempt something big for God. And at age 85, he's still conquering while those other 10 had been dead a long time. He had another spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Can you imagine that? Daniel had an excellent spirit. Here's a guy yanked out of his land of Israel, taken captive as a slave, made a eunuch. You don't know what that means, read it in your dictionary what they did to him. I mean, if there was ever a guy that maybe would want to be angry or bitter about the way he was mistreated, it might have been Daniel. But it says he had an excellent spirit from the time he was a teenager until the time he was in his 80s, and they threw him in a lion's den. And all the time in between, as he had to go to the Babylonian schools and learn garbage that was directly against what his God taught him, and he would not defile himself with the king's meat, even if it cost him his life. And it says, while he is a slave, while he is a captain, while he is a eunuch, while he's yanked out of his homeland, and he never saw his homeland again, with all that against him, he had an excellent spirit. Joseph had an excellent spirit. Look what he went through. What kind of a spirit do you have? Kind of a spirit do you have? If God should inquire today, let's say we write down the word spirit here. I don't know if you'll be able to see this or not. And we all took out a sheet of paper today. We wrote the word spirit on it. We left a blank line in the front of it. We handed it to God and said, God, you fill it in. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. You know what kind of spirit I have, Lord. You fill it in. When he wrote that on it, something on it, and gave it back to us, what would it say? What kind of a spirit do you have? Would it say rebellious? Would it say stubborn? Would it say angry? Would it say bitter? Would it say apathetic? Would it say indifferent? What would it say? Or would it say maybe loving, caring, sensitive? What kind of a spirit do you have? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what can we do about this? David said this, and I'll give you just three things here in closing. He said in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a what? Right spirit in me." See, that's something God can do. God can take all these wrong spirits that we have and renew a right spirit in us. You have a sensual spirit? Are you a girl or a lady who's boy crazy? Are you a man or a boy who's girl crazy? God doesn't want you to live that way. If that thing controls you, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. God can renew our right spirit. You know, David just got done with his thing here with Bathsheba, adultery, and everything. It was a horrible thing. And he ended up with a bad spirit. Why? His son died. The baby that was born 7 days old died and everything. He just kind of finally came broken before God. He got caught. Nathan the prophet revealed his sin. He said, "Thou art the man. You committed adultery with Bathsheba. You had her husband killed, and now your baby's died. Going to die." And David had to do something with his attitude. And so he prayed about it. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Have you ever prayed about your spirit? Have you ever prayed about your spirit? Have you ever said, "Lord, I have a bitter spirit. This isn't right. Help me. Lord, I have an unforgiving spirit. Help me, forgive me. Lord, I have an uncaring spirit. I don't care if anybody perishes. I don't care about my neighbors. I don't care about anyone but myself. Change me." God can renew a right spirit in us. He can. Right spirit in us. Number one, we need to renew our spirit. And the Bible talks about reviving the spirit. Reviving the spirit. See, when the Lord said the wages of sin is death, he didn't just mean physical death. He meant that the spiritual vitality of our life in Christ will peter out and fizzle out and die, and we won't be on fire for God like we used to be. But in Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one." See, sometimes we're always focusing on the heart, getting our heart right with God. But we don't focus that God focuses also on the spirit. Do you have a bad attitude of any kind today? That's going to kill you. Take it to God. Say, "Lord, give me a right spirit. Revive my spirit." He says he gives revival to the spirit of the humble. We need to be humble before God. We learned about humility last year. We need to be humble. You've got to come to God and say, "Lord, I've got a sensuous spirit. All I think about is the opposite sex, or all I think about is myself, or I'm overwhelmed with fear, Lord. Just fears and phobias just paralyze me into inaction, and I don't do anything for you. Please, Lord, take away this fearful spirit I have. I've got a proud, haughty spirit. I think I'm too good for this church, or too good to do anything. Lord, take this away. I got a rebellious or contentious spirit. I've got it. I turn everything into an argument. Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. Take away this spirit from me." I tell you, God will revive you if you'll be humble enough to confess it. Because he revives the spirit of the humble. He renews the spirit. We need to renew the spirit. We need to revive the spirit. And last of all, we need to rule the spirit. In closing, turn to Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28. Folks, you got to live with yourself. I'm trying to help you this morning. You got to live with your feelings. You gotta live with your emotions. They're pretty strong sometimes. You gotta live with your attitude. You gotta live with your will. All those combined is what we call the spirit. You gotta live with your spirit. And here it says this in Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You gotta rule your spirit. That means you gotta walk guard around it. You gotta get it right first, number one. Renew a right spirit within me. You gotta get it revived. But then you gotta walk guard around it, or those things will creep back in. Have you ever noticed how bitterness constantly wants to get in your spirit? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how sensuality keeps wanting to come back into your spirit, and filthiness wants to, and violence and anger? Some of you have angry, violent thoughts all the time. That's your spirit bothering you. You're not ruling your spirit. You get these angry, violent thoughts. Fearful spirit. Some of you have so much more potential than I'll ever have. But you've been stopped by fear, and I haven't. I'm not going to let fear stop me. I'm going to rule my spirit. And when fear approaches my spirit, I'm going to say, get out. When depression approaches my spirit, I'm going to say, there's no room for you in my spirit. When hatred approaches my spirit, I'm going to say, there's no room for that. When anger approaches my spirit, I say, no, I'm not going to let my spirit be defiled by anger. When pride tries to get into my spirit, I'm going to say, no, I'm nothing. God's everything. When the spirit of hastiness tries to come in and say, Art, you got to have this, you got to go into debt, you got to buy it, you got to have it now, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to rule my spirit. Because the Bible says you'll destroy yourself if you don't rule your spirit. I've seen marriages destroyed because somebody couldn't rule their spirit. Couldn't rule their spirit. Now, some of you have been through that, but you never heard a sermon like this, so I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying there's help, though. We need to renew the spirit. We need to revive the spirit, and then rule the spirit. Focus on your heart. That's great, but we got to realize there's more to us than just the heart. These little benedictions, and then we'll have prayer, but I come across these little benedictions. Sometimes as I read the benedictions to some of the letters in the Bible, I just dismissed them as, just as last cute little words, like when we sign a letter and say, your brother in Christ, Art Cole, or something. Hey, it's cute little word. But a couple benedictions kind of jumped out of the pages of the Bible one time when I was reading it. One was in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 22, it says this, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Small s. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Boy, that would help, wouldn't it? Then there's a tiny, dinky little book called Philemon in the New Testament. I get the last verse. It says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. And I thought, boy, Paul the preacher knew man needed help. Have you ever even one time in your life identified that you had a spirit? You've got a man inside of you that is your emotions, your feelings, your will, and your attitudes. Have you ever really said, Lord, fill in this blank for me. Tell me what I'm really like. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of man, rather, is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts. That's what I'm really like. Whatever is on that line right there is what I really am. Lord, if I gave you this paper, what would you write on it? What kind of spirit do I have? Stubborn, proud, rebellious, sensual? Angry, what would you write? Now, Lord, help me. Jesus, be with my spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with me. Change me, Lord, from the inside out. Change me, Lord. Help me. It's probably a little bit strange message today, but I'd like us just to pray it in. Let's bow our heads. I want to encourage you to think about this. Maybe just come to the altar today, and I don't know what's in your spirit. We're good. We're good at hiding it. But you can't hide it from the Lord. It's the spotlight of the Lord. It's the candle of the Lord. The Lord sees our spirit. The Lord sees our spirit. And if you also are here today and you say, I need to be saved. I don't know for sure if I'm saved, that I would go to heaven. The piano is going to begin to just play a verse. What kind of spirit do you have today?